I want to continue this morning on our theme that we started last week from Acts chapter 14 in verse 21, starting at verse 21, if we can go there. And I want to add a couple of more things to our survival kit. Remember, a going through it survival kit. And I want to add a few more pieces to that survival kit this morning that I think will help us, that helps us, that when we're going through it, you know, we can pull these tools out or pull these things out of our survival kit, and man, these are going to help me to make it through it. Now, I don't need to ask any of you, have you ever been through it? Are you going through it? Trust me, you will be going through it. If you have kids, you'll be going through it one time or another, right? But life is such that we go through it. We go through it. And we know what we mean by that idiom. I'm going through it right now. And so it's good to have a survival kit. And the scripture, of course, the Bible helps us. And so reading at Acts chapter 14, this famous passage of scripture, when the pastors, the leaders, were helping their people. And it says, in verse 21, they preached the good news in the city and won a large number of disciples. Now, just stop there for a moment, and I just want to highlight this phrase, the good news, and that's gospel, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. What Jesus Christ has done for us in His salvation, there is power in that to change our lives, and it says that they won a large people, and you know, it's like the church in general, our church in particular, is always on this quest of how it is that we reach people, how is it that we grow, if you will, even, and we want to do that. You know, my heart as a leader is always, how is it that we can reach people? People in our community. In our communities need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the point is this, there is something inherent within that message all by itself that is able to win people to its message. And so oftentimes we come up with these, you know, methods or ways in which, you know, things that we got to come up with to attract people, let's say. And I believe that some of them are right to do. But we cannot never get away from the fact that inherent within the message itself is the power to change people's lives. In fact, it says of itself, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. And so we see people are won to Christ by the good news. And so we always want to stay there. The good news, the good news, the good news. That in as much as it's important for us, and I'm laying down my life that we might have a building that is more attractive to people and to bring us up to speed to what it means to, you know, have a building that, hey, that's a church. At the same time, you know, the sheetrock and the new carpet and the new steeple, that's not going to save people. That's not going to save people. It's going to help. It'll help. You know, maybe they'll want to be saved because they see it. I don't know. But it's the gospel itself that wins and changes people. Okay. And then it says, then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. They were visiting the churches that they had established. And it says this. It says they were strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. And one of the things that we have to see about ourselves as people is that there is this constant need in our lives to be strengthened and encouraged to remain true to the faith. Because life has a way of weakening us. Life has a way. In our walk with Jesus, we come up against things that attack our faith and weakens us. It happens. Jesus himself said, in the world you're going to have what? Trouble, tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So in that strengthening that comes to us, that encouragement that comes to us to remain true to the faith, we are given this sense of overcoming. I can overcome these things in which I am living right now in the world. In the world, you're going to have trouble. And we don't have to talk much about that to prove it. And so how we need this strengthening, how we need this encouraging, and notice what it says, to remain true to the faith. It saddens me when I think of friends that I have that have defected, that have thrown their faith away. It saddens me. I know prodigals, people, young people who have turned from how it is that they grew up in the church and walked with Jesus at one time and no longer are doing that, have returned to the world. It's sad that they have, instead of remaining true to the faith, they've let it go. It's sad. It's scary. It's very scary. And there is this vulnerability that we all have to that our faith becomes weakened. And we need this constant strengthening, this constant encouragement. That's, in fact, one of the reasons why we come to church, why we have church, why we have community, that there be this strengthening that happens. And I know, you know, and I've been in situations in churches, you know, where you leave more ticked off and, you know, and ugly, and it's like, ah! And it's sad. But it ought to be the kind of situation where, man, you know what? I was strengthened today. I found something in my fellowship, and we have to continue to work on that as a church community. But I'm zeroing in on that because, God help us, man, we need to remain true to the faith. That when that day comes where I meet Jesus, either by leaving, you know, this world through death, or Jesus actually returns, that when that happens, that there's a confidence about me, I'm still there. I'm still there. I don't have to be this, and be a little scared because I'm on shaky ground of making it into heaven. Remaining true to the faith. And then he says this. He says, we must go through, in other words, this is in quotes now. This is how they encourage them. This is how they strengthen them, by saying, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And so, you know, you almost think that there'd be this, you know, whenever you think of strengthening and encouragement, you know, you feel like, well, all these good things you're going to say. And I talked about this a little bit last week, that we have this mentality that's often sported around as, you know, this Christian triumphalism, you know. Everybody is, you know, big smile, and, oh, everything is always going okay. And, you know, and if you're a Christian, this is how you ought to live, you know. And everything is just perfect, and we're all overcomers all the time. And there's this, I can't say the word. And boy, that, no, there's hardships. But there is a going through the hardships, you know. And there's something about those hardships, I'll touch on in a minute, that are good for us. They're good for us in particular because they bring us to the kingdom to which we're aspiring to get to, believe it or not. Wow. You mean to tell me I can't get to the kingdom unless I go through hardships? That's what it says. We'll talk about it in a minute. But to say that, okay, how is it then? You know, how is it? You know, what did we pull out of our survival kit from last week? Who remembers some of the things we pulled out of there? Because if you're going to go through it, this is what you need to get through it. Anybody remember? I know between last week and this week was like a million years ago. With anybody? Go ahead. Okay, the first one was, get a word from God. That, you know, when we're going through it, it's like, Lord, what are you saying to me right now? It's like, Lord, give me a word. Let something, you know, something that I'm reading in your word jump out at me and be like, oh, this is, I can hang on to this word. I'm telling you, that it works. It really does work. That when you're going through it, that you get a word from God. God, this is what the Lord has said to me. This is what God is saying to me. And the scripture itself says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by a word of God. When we're under attack, when we're going through hardships, what's being attacked is our faith. And boy, you get a word from God, it'll strengthen you, it'll strengthen your faith. What was another one we said? Anticipate hardships. Anticipate hardships. And we talked about the two boxers in a ring, right? And one of them takes a hit, he's off balance. It's probably going to knock him down. He could take the same hit, but he was ready for it. It'll hurt, but he's still standing. Anticipate hardships. I'll never forget when I was first saved. When I was first saved, you know, I was a druggie. And so, you know, I was used to living high. I wanted to live high. I thought I couldn't live unless I was high, you know. And so after I quit drugs, thank God. And when Jesus came into my life, it was like, wow. In fact, I even had an aunt who thought when I became a Christian, he just found, you know, he's so happy now, he's so out of it, he just found a new drug he's taking. She really said that, you know. And the thing is that I felt high. It was like, man, I was flying high. And I even remember thinking and saying, nothing's going to bring me down. Nothing. It wasn't long before my bubble popped. I'm going to tell you right now. And so there has to be this thing about us where we see that, you know, walking with Jesus, you can be a Christian, you still get cancer. Walking with Jesus, you still have struggles with your kids. Walking with Jesus, you still have internal conflicts. That walking with Jesus doesn't make the troubles go away. Doesn't. That there are hardships. But walking with Jesus is the best way to get through them. And so you anticipate hardships. Hey, there's going to be tough times. You know, it's not going to be easy. What was another one? Put hope to work. Put hope. Boy, you know, and hope is a big thing. So that when I'm going through it, hope says, I'm going to get through it. I'm going to get through it. And even when the odds are stacked against us, even when, you know, at the end of Hebrews chapter 11 is what kind of chapter? The faith chapter. But Hebrews chapter 11 also talks about hope, because faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for. Flip side of the coin. And when you read through chapter 11, it begins by talking about the exploits of all those Bible heroes and the great accomplishments and how they overcame by faith. And then it talks about some at the end of the chapter that seemingly did not overcome. It says some of them were killed, some of them were stoned, some of them were sawn in half by torture. I mean, some of the, they were persecuted for their faith. And then it makes a statement. It says, these all died, who knows, in faith. Wow. Just as remarkable. Just as stellar. Just as faith-filled as Abraham or Sarah, who overcame. As Moses, when the walls of Jericho came down, you talk about a miracle. Mel mentioned it this morning. Sandra taught on it last week with the kids. Remember, we heard them marching around the tables upstairs. And what tremendous faith. But just as real, just as vibrant is when the walls don't fall, and yet you remain standing by faith. Tell them. Do I want the walls to come down by faith? Yes. But sometimes they don't. And when they don't, I still have hope. You understand? I still have hope. Hoping against the odds. Hope is big. I'm going to get through this. Because I'm going through. God is going to help me to get through this. All those other things that go into it. Who remembers the last one? There were four from last week. Okay. So remember now, but the thing that we were focusing on was our relationship with God who is invisible. Say again. That's where it's at. I'm telling you. You know, I look at that as the hub of my life. The hub of my life. The hub of my life, you know, you think of it as a hub, you know, like on a bicycle, you know. And all the spokes come out from that and make the wheel and make it go round. You got a bad hub. I don't care how good the spokes are, how good the tire is, how good the rim is. You got a bad hub. You got a wheel that ain't going to go round. Right? And so the hub of my life, what centers me, what is the center of my life, is my relationship with God. And the thing that I tried to emphasize about that for our survival kit is that God doesn't show up and say, okay, I'm here now, we're going to get through this. And you say, ooh, wow, God, actually, he's right here, right by my side, right now. I feel him. I know he's here. And he materializes, and there he is. No. 98, 99% of the time, it's what? It's a by faith going through it. That even though I don't see him, I trust him. You understand? He remains invisible. And we learn how to grow in the context of that kind of relationship with him. Very cool. I'm glad you guys got it. I want to add two more this morning. I want to add two more of the things that need to be in our survival kit. How many of you remember the movie, the game show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Remember when that was on? And some of you may have seen the movie Slumdog Millionaire. Taken off from that, but then where was it, in India? Yeah. And so the contestants on there would answer questions, and depending on what level they were at, you know, they went up for money. And one of the lifelines was what? Phone a friend. All right? So this is the next thing that I want to talk about. That when you're going through it, phone a friend. You have that lifeline, phone a friend. Now, what do I mean by that, phone a friend, you know? Because more often than not, Jose, I'm going to slap you after service. You're getting slapped for dissing me, man. And you know what, I'm using that somewhat as a metaphor, phone a friend, to say this. Sometimes when we're going through it, we isolate ourselves from other people when we're going through it, for one reason or another. And the isolation that comes into our lives can be a very subtle thing. In other words, you can isolate yourself and still stay somewhat connected. It's just that you live with it and you don't let anybody else in there. You refuse to use the lifeline of phoning a friend for help. It can happen. And we isolate ourselves. And the whole dimension that we live in of fellowship, of brotherly connections is such that there are things that I go through that I'm not going to make it through unless you help me. Can't do it alone. Not going to get through it alone. I mean, this is the wonderful thing about marriage, you know. Sometimes when one's up, the other's down, you know. Sandra and I, you know, going through stuff, and she's trying to, you know, come to me about something. I say, listen, you know, I'm down too. You got to be up, you know. And it happens. And one of the wonderful reasons why that happens sometimes is we see that she's not my God. You know, I depend upon Jesus. But maybe there's other people. And so phoning a friend so that we have this tendency. And it's the worst thing that we can do to not let other people in that who may be of help going through. Now, there's all kinds of things that it's not my point this morning to get into all this other stuff about how, you know, you got to, you know, choose wisely sometimes, you know, who you let in. And not talking about that. I don't want to go there. But here's the thing now on the friend side of things. And that is, when somebody's going through it, just listen. Just listen. I think that we all have this complex about ourselves that when somebody's going through it and they come to us, they phone us, you know, is that we want to fix it. Let me fix it. I'm going to fix it for you. And sometimes the best thing to do is just listen. Just listen. You can offer no advice, no counsel, no fix. Just what's going on? And doesn't the scripture itself say to weep with those who weep? You know, we forget about that. Somebody's going through it, and you've been through it, right? You know, and you're hurting. And the worst, you know, the worst thing you want to hear is, you know, you're going through and it's like, oh, you know, God's going to do tremendous things. You know, don't quote Romans 8:28. Somebody's going through it. You know, don't quote any scripture. Listen. They're crying, cry with them. You know? It's like, then all of a sudden, you know, you start crying with someone and you realize your problem's even bigger and now you got a problem. But listen. So, phone a friend. Here's the last one. The second one that I want to read, or that I want to get into. And I want to read a scripture verse from Hebrews 10. On this. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. And I want to end with this one out of my survival kit bag here. Hebrews 10, 25. Hebrews is a book that's devoted to the kind of thing that I've been doing these past 2 weeks, to encourage their faith. The Hebrew Christians that he's writing to were in a situation where they were being vulnerable to attacks to give up on their faith. They were. That's the context. Not to remain true to the faith. So the writer of this book writes to them, and he's trying to, you can do it. You can stay true to the faith. And in the book of Hebrews, 12 times he uses the terminology, it's an exhortative phrase where he says, let us, let us, let us. And some have come up with these little things of saying, you know, there's 12 heads of lettuce in Hebrews, because there are 12 times he says that. A good way of remembering it. But this is one of those exhortative encouragements that he gives to help them to remain true to the faith. He says in verse 25, let us not give up meeting together. Let us not give up meeting together. And he says, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. This is a remarkable verse right here. And so the last little thing here in our survival kit, if you're going to make it when you're going through it, which follows on the heels of my last point, phone a friend, is stay connected to church. Stay connected to church. As simple as that. Now, and this is his point here. This is his point. Let us not give up meeting together. Once again, you know, I know people who, when they're going through it, they stay away from church. Yeah, they stay away from church. And it's like, wow, I would think that the best place for you to be right now is around other people and community to get something, you know, to help you get through it. And And I like what he says here as well, as some are in the habit of doing. So there are those who have the habit of not showing up at church. It's mind-boggling to me. But there it is, right there, in black and white. Now, here's the thing. No church is perfect. You know? And, you know, being a pastor, being a churchman for 40-something years, you know, I've heard a lot of things, you know. And, you know, why people don't go to church, why they're, you know, whatever. And I get it. Some of the things I get. I mean, I get it in that I hear what they're saying. I don't agree. But there's no perfect church, and there is no church without its messes. Because there's stuff in our lives. There is a mess in my life right now. I'm in process. I'm in progress. You know, there's messes. Wherever there are people, there will be messes. You know, there are no perfect churches. There are no churches without messes. Now, the sooner we get a hold of that, the happier we'll be with this mess. Thank you. Yes, exactly. You know, really. Now, don't get me wrong, and I think this little caveat has to be added here to what I'm saying, and that is, you know, some churches, you know, you say they're not perfect. I mean, they got some serious issues. You know, don't get me wrong. And there are some messes in some churches. Hey, it's like, whoa, what the heck is happening there? Don't get me wrong. You know, that's true. And there has to be this thing, though, that we have this sense about us that, remember that old saying that we used to have, a bloom where you're planted? I mean, that went around a while ago. Some of you remember that. Bloom where you're planted. It was your women's theme, okay? Was your women's theme? Sure, from your one-day conference. And there's so much truth in that. You know, that you know, I you know, over the years, as I know people, you know, stuff comes up in churches, you know, where, now let's not say it where stuff comes up, where your eyes get open to the mess that exists. And it's like, I'm out of here. And again, there are people who leave churches for valid reasons, even if there are no issues, but it's my time. I release people. Don't hang on to anyone. We really, and other, the same, and there are, that kind of stuff happens. Don't get me wrong. I'm not harping on that. At the same time, for heaven's sake, stick around long enough to get some growth going on. You know, for heaven's sake. Bloom where you're planted. So let me say this. That there is, so we're talking about encouragement. That when we come together, that we want to have a format. We want to have, you know, a church service, if you will. We want to do church in such a way that there is an encouragement received here that you can't get anywhere else. I really believe that God has designed church, He has designed community, Jesus Christ, the head of the church, in such a way that something ought to be happening amongst us in the way in which we do church. That we receive encouragement, we receive strengthening that you can't get anywhere else. No other relationship can provide it. No other involvement that we engage in can do it. That church is God's idea. This is His idea. And it was His idea from the beginning. And so I get that. Now, we must rise above the WIFM. You know what WIFM is, right? You've heard that WIFM, that mnemonic, that whatever. What's in it for me? Whiff them. What's in it? Mnemonic, sorry. What's in it for me? Whiff them. You know, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? You know, I will, I'll commit, I'll be, but what's in it for me? And don't get me wrong, I think that there needs to be something in it for us, you know, for me. But boy, there's something that, if that's only our motivating thing, you know, for wherever, how it is that we engage in community. Because what happens when there's nothing in it for you? You know? I'll never forget when Sandra and I were driving down to Mexico. And, yeah, it was our second time driving down. My truck had gotten stolen. We came back, had to get a new truck, driving back down again. And we stopped at, where was that place, that big place where we stopped? Entertainment place in Missouri. Branson, Missouri, right, where they have all kinds of shows and, I mean major stuff, you know, shows. It's like the Broadway of whatever, that kind of stuff. And so that we were driving around, and there was this guy who, I forget how, he had a flat tire or something in his vehicle. We were parked in his place. He said, oh, I'll help you. He says, if you can bring me so-and-so to get this. And it took, you know, some time. He had to lift this heavy thing up in my brand new truck, almost scratched it. That almost killed me.
I know that.
You know the feeling. And I'm like, here I am helping under my breath. Here I am helping this guy. He's scratching my brand new truck, karate chop him. And helping him and whatever. So we get all done. Come to find out, he worked at one of the big places there. Whatever show it was, I forget what show they were showing. It was a big show. And he said, I'll get you tickets to go. Thank you for helping me. And something in my heart, I said, no thanks. I wanted to do it with nothing in it for me. You know? Now, oh, Bob, how wonderful. You know? Aren't you something special, Bob? Huh? Yes, yeah. Yeah. But the point is, you know, we have this kind of stuff sometimes. Remember President Kennedy? Don't ask what you can do for your country. Don't ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country, right? And we remember things like that because there's something in that, you know? And boy, we have to rise above that kind of thing where... we have to see this place that in this place that Jesus has made church. He's made our church. This is how I see it: is a place where He's endeavoring to shape our lives into what He has always intended for us to be and to do. Not only for us, but for the world around us. This isn't so that we can have a nice party, you know, all these things. But God, what do we got to do to reach our community, our neighbors, our friends? God, how is it that you are shaping our lives into what you want us to do and to be? So that it becomes this kind of factory where God, it's like, you know, it's like, oh, you're going to work there? No, I'm going there to be worked on. You know? And God is working and shaping us into His purposes, not only for ourselves, but His purposes for what He wants to accomplish through our lives. Amen. Stay connected to church. Stay connected. Stay connected to church. No. Roman Catholicism, and I'm not bad-mouthing Roman Catholicism by saying this, but in my opinion, they have an erroneous doctrine that says the church will save you. And as long as you belong to the church, you're saved, the mother church. The church will save you. And they take it, I believe, from St. Augustine, who came up with that phrase. He didn't mean it like they have meant it to be. Now, I could be a little off in my history here. But The church does not save you. Remember, we used to say, remember we used to witness back in the 70s, you know, that you're no more a car if you, you know, because you're in a car. How did it used to go? You're no more a car if you're parked in a garage. I forget. Huh? If you're standing in your garage, something like that. I forget how we used to use stupid stuff back then. But anyways, you know, yeah, you come to church. You're not a Christian because you go to church. You're not a follower of Jesus. You go to church. You ought to be, but the church doesn't make you, right? It doesn't. But at the same time, there's something that is saving going on, that ought to be going on through the ministry of the church, that without it, you don't get saved. Remember what I said the last two Sundays after worship? I looked at the worship team and I said, you just saved this pastor's life. The encouragement that came forth, the anointing that came forth, the worship that came forth, man, did something within my spirit, did something within my heart that brought something to life that was weakening. Ooh, you know? That's the way it ought to be. Okay, I'm done this morning. Stay connected to church. It's hard sometimes for people to stay connected to church. I don't get it. We don't get it. Why? It is. Because we've always been connected. You say, well, yeah, that's your job. It hasn't always been. I mean, I don't know what to say to that. And I'm not harping on people. You know, you're here. I'm preaching to the choir this morning. My point is that you ought to be strengthened and encouraged when you come here. And if you're not, well, then we got to take a look at something. Who wants to add a comment or question to that? Anybody? What do you think about that survival kit right there? You have your survival kit ready? You staying connected to church? You better. Good. Stay connected. All right. Okay. Well, let's pray. I hope some of you are going to stay for the movie. It's going to be good. I know what I'm eating. Sandra made shepherd's pie. That was our dish to pass, shepherd's pie. You say, who are you going to pass it to? Me first. Hey, what's in it for me? Okay, so Jesus, here we are. God, we talk about these things and, you know, we talk about them sometimes. It's like, yeah, well, okay, you know, it's nothing more than rhetoric. And I pray this morning, God, that it'd be more than that, but because that smoke alarm is in the wrong place. It's not one that you put up. I put it there. In the kitchen. I put that there. No, I did it. Because I'm the electrician's helper. No, I'm the electrician's helper. So, Jesus, help us. Help us with these things, God, to, Lord, in life, to apply these things. Thank you for your people, God. I'm just so proud of each one of these folks who are here this morning. In spite of the snow and whatever, having to shovel out. And I thank you for that, God. We pray your blessing in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you.